Well, good morning, CTK. Good to see you this morning. It's good to be back with you. I had the privilege to watch you online when I could pick up internet and from the tent, our car, and our travels. Thank you for some time away. It was an awesome time with Marilyn and some vacation time and camping, and we love getting out in the dirt and the outdoors and just hanging out for a little while. But it's good to be back, and it was fun to watch you in worship and to be with you in worship. And man, to be live with you in worship, there's nothing like it. And you know, no matter when you travel, being here on a Sunday morning is awesome. Now, you've heard while I was away, Patty and Pastor Bill were sharing with you a little on this aspect of baggage and the baggage we carry. They share with you all kinds of things that come into our lives that make us struggle to live life as God would have us live. Now, some of this baggage they've encouraged you to name, and some of it you already know, that you could probably sit here on your connection card this morning or whatever, and or your message notes, and you could write down, this is a place of baggage, this is a place I'm struggling to get past. And I want to encourage you to do that, because what you name and what you put down begins to be the process of God healing that, and it's being named. When it's put before God, when it's put out there on the table, you can then give it to God and let go of it. But there's another side to baggage as well. There's things that travel within us that we don't even realize we're carrying. There's ideologies and thought patterns and things that have happened to us that get buried deep within there. They just become almost a part of what we would say are the people that we are. How sad that can be, actually. We begin to just become it because it's been a part of us for so long. And sometimes they pop out in ways that we don't expect. You know, it might be a relational dynamic that you've now come into a church and you've met new people and you begin to engage with these people and you get into a community group. And finally, for the first time, you're going to get some great new friends and they begin to share life, and there's nothing more awesome than to be able to share life with other people and to engage in the heart of other people. And everybody's sharing, and you so desperately want to share, but then all of a sudden you remember someone who offended you. Or you remember someone who took what you said and they judged you, and you closed down, and you realize, man, to step toward intimacy is still really hard because I have baggage. Those come up in all the times, and we find ourselves defenseless. And we find ourselves with the inability to move past it. And all of a sudden, we have one more piece of baggage that we find out that we're just kind of carrying along in ways that keep us in bondage. Now, what we talk about clearly is we need to connect to Jesus Christ, and we want to find this freedom as we experience God. And what I want to talk about over these next couple weeks as we close out this, is how to let this stuff go completely. Not only completely, but how do we deal with the new baggage that emerges that we don't even know is buried deep within us? How do we begin to live in such a way that we can be baggage handlers, as Patty talked about last week, in a way that releases it rather than carrying it? One of the first steps that all of us have to make is a decision. We have to make a decision to let this stuff go. Now, I know we carry it along. You said, man, I've made that decision. I don't want to carry it. But I want to challenge you a little bit. And sometimes we really have said we want to let it go, but we really don't want to let it go. When I have had times where I've wrestled with maybe aspects of resentment or bitterness or betrayal or inadequacies, in all of those times, there ultimately came a point by which I had to decide, I don't want to carry this any longer. Hear me? And the reason that I was carrying it was a matter of control. Hear that? It's a matter of control. If I keep carrying it, I'm in control of my feelings. And I'm now in control that I remember what someone has done and how someone has offended or what happened to me in the past. It actually becomes a part of who I am and the identity. And that leads in a strange way a type of control. Our baggage gives us that control. And actually we say, this is mine. It's who I am. It's become like this badge of survival in a really strange and ironic way. It reminds us, you hurt me in some way. And this reminds me how I need to feel. Therefore, the baggage just continues to become like this residual sludge that finds itself in the midst of it. We want to cling to it, and we want to hold everybody else in bondage to it, when in reality, we're the ones that are still suffering, and we're the ones that are still caught up trying to put bandages on this stuff that God wants to heal. It controls us. And it makes us not what God's ideal is. In fact, we can look around over the events that have happened over these last week, and we watch it on the news, and we see these tragic things happen within families and with communities. It's a result of baggage. It's all a result of things that the world has put on us, ways we begin to think, ways we begin to act, ways we begin to perceive life and community that are not the ways that God has created us to be. And what happens, it becomes who we are, it becomes the ideology we live, it becomes the image that we see ourselves in, and we become that, and we begin to act it out on each other, our spouses and our children and our communities. It may be small ways, it may be big ways, but it's a way of control because we found ourselves in who we are. I think one of the reasons we cling to it is we use this kind of false sense of, it's just the way that I am. Have you ever found yourself saying that? Well, it's just the way that I am. What, I just want to call it, what a lame excuse. We say that, and it's just a lame excuse. You can't help it. It's just the way that I am. How many jobs have been lost? How many families have been broken? How many children have been affected? How many sloppy performances in the name of, it's just who I am? It's baggage. And we cling to it so much because we cling to that identity. We don't know what to do with us if we aren't how we've been defined. But God hasn't created you like that, and God hasn't created me like that. No one was born like that. You weren't born with all that baggage. You weren't born with all those idolatries that are happening within you that you now worship about yourself. Not at all. God created you perfect. The world made you and me broken. Let me tell you again. God created you perfect. The world has made us broken. If we want to get back to the way that God has designed you and me, then we've got to go back and learn from the one who made us. The struggle is we're paying attention to all the ideology of the world in order to figure out who we are. And that's where the break needs to change. In Revelation, Jesus says, late in the book, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door is he standing at? You. He stands at the door of your baggage, of your brokenness, of yourself, of what the world has done, and he's knocking. And he wants to be a part of your life. He's not saying this is a self-help thing you can do. I'm knocking on this door. If anybody will open the door of this stuff, I will come in and I will make my home with you, which means he will reside within you, he will work in you, and he will show you how to think and how to live. God is a redeeming God. God is a redeeming God. In Lamentations chapter 3, in the book of Lamentations, is a book about a cry to God. And the writer in Lamentations says in chapter 3, verse 57, this. He says, you came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause. O Lord, you have redeemed my life. Now, the problem when we carry in baggage, the way we look at God, we say, God, take up my cause. God, be on my side. If I'm carrying baggage, the cause that I'm on usually isn't good. That's not the cause God has taken up. The cause he's taken up is the brokenness of the baggage in your life. That's what he's wanting to redeem you of. That is what he wants to change in your life so that you begin to perceive and see the world in the way that he wants you to see it in his ideal, so that the broken places in your life, in your relationships, and among your kids and your family and your community begin to change because you are changed by him. He says, you have redeemed my life. The writer's not saying that the world did it or a different ideology did it, that you did it. You changed me. To be redeemed means to be made new. It's not to put a Band-Aid over it. It's not to try to manage the baggage that I'm carrying. It's not to try to put one down and pick up another. It's to be literally to be made new. That's what redemption is. The Bible says God will take your heart of stone and he will give you a heart of flesh. You see, when our baggage has become our identity and our image, it's like we're encapsulated in stone. We're so closely associated with it that we can't get out of it. And it takes God to begin to change it and mold it and soften our heart to see us before him in the way that he has created us. That is why Jesus alone is the hope of the world. It's why the church and moving and connecting people to Jesus Christ is the hope of this world. That's why the movement and the mission of the church is so critical. If anything's going to change among all the baggage that's carried throughout this nation, we get to be the front line of that change. But the step starts, honestly, with each of us in the room. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this in chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. Now, just get a hold of that a moment. This means that I can't judge you or understand you at all by what I see with my eyes. In the same way that they couldn't begin to understand all that Jesus was by seeing him in the flesh. There's so much more to you than what is visible in the eye. Imagine if we lived the world in that way. I can't regard anyone by what I see on the flesh. Neither can we regard all that God can do in our lives simply by thinking of him as simply a human being, but to understand him as the divine one of God. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from who? God. This is not a self-help maneuver. I can put bandages on my baggage all day long, but I'm still in control. I'm still calling out how I identify myself in my hurts and my wounds and who I've become. I need God to take this. It is him and him alone. He makes me a new creation, not something old. It's new. It's the fresh start. It's redemption. Don't you think it's time? The only reason we were standing here with all our baggage is because we haven't really believed that God is that powerful. But Paul understood it. Paul came to Christ with a whole lot of baggage. And when he writes this, he knows it firsthand. That the first step he had to do is say, God, I don't want to control this anymore. I want to give it to you. I don't want this to be my identity. I want you to be my identity. I want to be created new in Christ. And that's why so many people came to follow Christ, because they can see the power of Christ in him, in the same way that your neighbors and friends will see the power of Christ in your life when they see the baggage drop. Amen, church? That is powerful. Paul writes in Romans 16, he says, I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Isn't that good news? This is what the baggage ought to look like. Because that's Satan. I should just preach up here. I don't know what this altitude feels like. In fact, on Facebook, you probably missed me because you were way down here. That's how we're supposed to live. Not something we're carrying, but something that's been crushed under our feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That means the God of grace, God desires. It's not something you can earn. It's something he wants to give you. So you say, God, would you make me a new creation today? I want to let it go. And I want a new identity. I want to think differently. In John 8:36, we've been talking about in this theme passage, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen, church? That if isn't can he. That if is he will. That if is you've tried everything else, but if the Son sets you free, finally, you'll be free. Finally. Get that. God will do it. So how do we get there? It's always the question. I believe in God, but I'm still not there, is the cry of many Christians around the world. I believe God is powerful, but I'm still carrying it all. What's the difference? The difference is this. We haven't learned to follow him. See, I can believe God's powerful all day long, but I don't put my life in his hands and follow him. It means nothing. I might get a clear conscience by believing in him, but I get a clean life by following him. Hear me, church? And there's a big difference is what the world watches, and there's a big difference of how that reacts in your spouse's life and in the life of your kids and your community. There'll be many in this world who call themselves Christians, but are living in the massive baggage that's causing destruction because they might believe in God, but they're not following him. Following him changes your life. So what does it look like? First thing I put on your outline is you got to give up. You got to give your life to him. You get out of the driver's seat and you let him have it. You believe for what Paul is saying. He's going to make me a new creation. I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to make the choice today that I'm not going to control the baggage, that there's a better life for me outside of this than what I understand about myself in it. And see, that's one of the struggles, because I'll stay in this place until I believe something's better. And that's why we love the baggage so much. Romans chapter 12. Justin alluded to it a few moments ago. God had given him this verse this morning earlier. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into what? Say it louder. A new person. Not a bandaged up one. A new person. And how's he going to do it? What's the next part? By changing what? The way that you think. When I finally come to God and said, God, I gotta let go of this bitterness. I gotta let go of this stuff that I'm thinking. I gotta let go of that disappointment. I gotta change the way that I think. I gotta stop being in control. Thinking that this is a good place. It's a good memory. It's something I need to hold on. No, it's not. It's not healthy. He wants to make you a new person by changing the way that you think. And look at the end of this. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Then, circle then. Until you change the way that you think, you won't know God's will for you. You'll know your will for you. You'll know your will that you want to take out on your family or your community or whatever else, but you won't know the will of God, and that'll just be something that leads to destruction and tears up everything around. That's what we see in the world. We want to change that pattern, and it only happens when God changes it in us. You'll know what is good, what is pleasing, and what is perfect. Follow him. Let him take the lead. Say, God, I'm putting it down. It's yours. I'm going to see the way you operate. And I'm going to learn from you the way you want me to operate. That's what the disciples did. I can't learn it from you. I can't learn it from someone else. I can observe it in you, but I've got to learn it from him. He's the one that made me. I've got to be in his word. The second is this. Yoke yourself to his ways and his will. I use that word yoke strongly. You see, I can let Jesus take the lead, and I can vary the distance by which I'm following. In fact, I can jump in and out of following. I might say, okay, I'm going to follow you one or two days a week, but if I'm yoked to you, there's a different ballgame. He's dragging me around. The yoke means that he's the master and I'm the slave. The yoke means that he's in control and he's showing me which way to go. And if I get off track, he's bringing me back. His rod and his staff might comfort me and it might save me. Hear me, church? Following is to be yoked to him. It's to be yoked to him. Paul writes again in Romans chapter 6. He says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You're in my baggage. We obey it. It becomes our identity. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, and you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Is this or that? It's a choice. There's no other way. You move on down to verse 20, and he goes on. He says, when you were slaves to your baggage, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what does he mean by that? It means when I'm a slave to the identity that the world has put on me, my baggage is put on me, and I'm living comfortably in that every day, then I don't even know what the will of God is. I don't even know what to do that is right. I'm literally bound to the obligation to do that. But he's speaking to people who are saved in this passage. He's speaking to a church of people, the early church in Rome, that is following him. And he said there's something that's changed in your life that he is encouraging, that he's also encouraging you and me. He's saying, but you're different. When you were a slave to that sin and baggage, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. The only way you can be ashamed of the baggage we used to carry is because now you're on the other side of it. And you've given it to God. While you're in it, it's just all you know. He goes on in verse 22, he says, but now you are free from the power of sin. You're free from your baggage. He's observing this in them. And you have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Isn't it interesting? The irony is this. I can be a slave to this or a slave to God. One way you're going to be a slave. It's a choice. I would much rather be yoked and be enslaved to the one who can save me forever. The one who created me perfect. And the one whose biggest desire, greatest desire, is to bring me back to the person he created me to be. Because since the time I was born, the world's telling me different. The first step is to give it to Jesus. To let him work that in your life. Matthew 11, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest. Wow. The gospel is so true. It's not about you. It's about giving it to him. God will do it. You just say, enough. I'm not going to control it. I'm not going to be that. The third is this. We must visualize God's kingdom reality. We must visualize God's kingdom reality. You know, it's hard to make a move that you can't see. It's hard to go to a place that you can't even imagine. And when we've been in such baggage, we can't even imagine life without it. it's hard to go there. So we have to go to God so he can show us a different image of ourselves and let us see where he wants us to go. And he often in scriptures, as we're in his word, will show us that. And it'll be kind of become this, aha, that's what it's like to live without that. I want that, God. In Luke 9, Jesus says, in verse 23, he said to everyone, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Save it. Now, that's a kingdom reality that's different from the way that we think. No one in their right mind in the world thinks that if I deny myself, I'm actually going to be better. If I change the way that I think, after all, what I think is everybody should think, right? It's what we believe in America. But God's saying, no, you got to think the way that I think. If you deny yourself and follow me, you will actually save your life and win. See, it's one of those passages that begins to get our mind thinking, wait a minute, there's a kingdom view that's different from the worldview that I currently have. There's also a kingdom view about what your life can be like than what it already is with the baggage that you carry. That's why Paul also writes that God will soon crush Satan under your feet. Because when you're following, Satan can't get a foothold. Hear me, church? Because how can Satan put his yoke on you when you are already yoked? Amen? That's the gift that he wants to give to each of us in the room. This past week, as you were studying and sharing in devotion in the 21 days of prayer, Psalm 18 was one of them. And I want to read part of it with you. It goes like this. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. Okay, I called to the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and he set me free. The Lord is on my side, okay? It's not saying he's taking my side. He is on my side. He is with me in this journey. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side, he says again, and as my helper, I shall look in triumph of those who hate me. Key verses in there. Verses of triumph, verses of helpfulness, verses of being able to stand, verses of knowing that as I journey in here, Jesus is right here beside me, the Lord is with me, and we ask, what can man do to me? And the irony in all of this is we can say, man can do a lot to me. And the reason I have all the baggage and ideologies that are destroying my life and the world and my family and my kids is because of what man has done to me. What do I do with that? It presses us to get a different kingdom view. That if we are living life in the bondage of what man or woman or this world has done to us, then we're not living in the freedom of Christ. Hear me, church? It's a different kingdom view. It's saying, what do I want to have control of my life? The God who created me, who loves me, who gave his life for me, who redeemed me, whose pathway is lighted for me, and his word shows the direction for me to go, who knows all of my giftedness, who wants to set me released in the world to be his kingdom agenda, to be light and salt, or a world who wants to squish me. It's a choice that each of us get to make to follow him. That's why Paul again writes in Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son. That's how much he loves you. but he gave him up for us all. Will he not also with him give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? This condemns me. What Paul is saying, it should not have that right. Because God justifies you. That is means to be made right. God's called you to more. This belongs here. Amen, church. Let's pray. God, we come to you today. And we got stuff. But no more. Enough of it. No more excuses. The very first step is to let go of the control of it. The identity of it. The foundation of it that we live on, and let you be that foundation. Let you be the one who tells us who we are. Let you be the one that reveals our gifts. Let you be the one that light shines in us. We can't do this on our own. We must be yoked to you for you to do your greatest work. Mold us and shape us, Lord Jesus. And Father, as we dive into this relationship with you, we know that you will reveal your truth. And you will be the light to our path. And you'll give us the image of what we'll be. God, we thank you for that gift. Set us free, Lord Jesus. For if the Son has set us free, we are truly free. Thank you, Jesus. God loves you, church. Next week, when we gather in this room, we're going to talk about how the power of the Holy Spirit takes the place that we are and keeps all new baggage from piling on. God is good.